Chapter 7. Colin. It was still raining in the morning, and Mary couldn't go outside. She didn't see Martha until the afternoon. But when Martha came to bring her her tea, Mary told her the news at once.
"I have found out what the crying was," Mary said. "I heard it in the night, and I wanted to see where it was coming from. So I went to look. And I found Colin."
"Oh, Miss Mary," cried Martha. "You shouldn't have done that. They will be cross with me. They will send me away."
"They won't send you away," said Mary. "Colin was pleased that I came. We talked and talked. He asked me all about India."
Martha gasped in amazement.
"I don't believe you," she said. "Colin won't let people look at him. When they do, he has one of his tantrums. He screams and cries so much, it frightens us all. Was he really nice to you?"
"I think he almost liked me," Mary said. "What's the matter with him?"
"Nobody really knows," said Martha. "Mr. Craven nearly went mad when he was born, because Mrs. Craven had died. He wouldn't look at the baby. He said that Colin would just be another hunchback. Everyone worries that his back is weak, so they make him lie down and they don't let him walk. Dr. Craven made him wear a metal thing on his back once, but another doctor came from London and told him to take it off. He was very angry. He said that Colin takes too much medicine. He said people shouldn't let him do what he wants all the time."
"Do you think he will die?" asked Mary.
"Mother says it's difficult to live when you're like that. He doesn't get any fresh air. He lies on his back all day, taking medicine and reading books."
A bell rang, and Martha got up to go. When she came back, she looked surprised.
"Well, you have put him in a good mood," she said. "He's sitting up on his sofa, reading. He wants you to go and see him."
Mary was pleased. She wanted to see Colin very much. Not as much as she wanted to see Dickon, but she did want to see him. Colin's room looked even more beautiful in daylight. There were colourful rugs and pictures and lots of books. Colin was sitting on the sofa wearing a dressing gown.
"Come in," he said. "I've been thinking about you all morning."
"I've been thinking about you too," answered Mary. "You know, Martha is very frightened. She thinks that Mrs. Medlock will send her away. She says Mrs. Medlock will think Martha told me about you."
Colin frowned. "Go and tell Martha to come here," he said. "She is in the next room."
Mary went and brought her back. Poor Martha was trembling.
"You know that you have to do what I tell you," Colin said to her in a hard voice.
"Yes, sir," said Martha, turning red.
"Medlock has to do what I tell her too. So when I ask you to bring Mary here, you must bring her. And if Medlock says anything about it, I'll send her away," he said importantly. "Now go."
When Martha had gone, Colin saw that Mary was staring at him.
"Why are you looking at me like that?" he asked. "What were you thinking?"
"I was thinking that I saw a prince in India once," Mary replied. "He spoke to his people just like you spoke to Martha. Everybody had to do what he said, and I was also thinking how different you are from Dickon."
"Who is Dickon?" Colin said.
"He is Martha's brother," said Mary. "He is not like anyone else in the world. He plays on his pipe, and the foxes and squirrels and birds come and listen to him. He knows about everything that grows or lives on the moor. He knows all about eggs and nests, and he knows where all the animals live. But he keeps it a secret. He doesn't want other boys to frighten them."
Colin lay back on the sofa, and his eyes grew larger.
"Tell me some more about him," he said.
So Mary told Colin about the moor, and about Dickon's cottage, and the 14 people who lived there. She talked about Dickon's mother, and she talked about the green shoots that were sticking up out of the black earth.
"You never see anything if you are ill," said Colin quietly.
"You can't if you stay in a room," said Mary.
"I couldn't go on the moor," said Colin. "How could I? I am going to die."
Mary didn't like the way Colin talked about dying. He almost sounded proud of it.
"Let's not talk about dying," she said. "Let's talk about living. Dickon is always talking about living things. He's always looking up in the sky to watch birds flying, or looking down at the earth to watch things growing. Let's talk about Dickon."
It was the best thing she could have said. Mary talked more than she had ever talked before, and Colin talked and listened more than he had ever done. They both began to laugh about nothing, and suddenly they seemed just like normal, healthy, happy children. They no longer seemed like a hard, unloving little girl and a poor, crooked boy who thought he was going to die. It rained for the rest of that week, so Mary couldn't go to the secret garden or see Dickon. But she enjoyed herself very much. Every day, she spent hours with Colin in his room. They talked about gardens, or Dickon, or the cottage on the moor, and they looked at Colin's books. Mrs. Medlock had been shocked the first time she walked into Master Colin's room and found Mary there. But Colin told her that Mary made him feel better. He said that he wanted her to come and talk to him whenever he asked. Mary was very careful about the secret garden when she talked to Colin. She still wasn't sure whether he would be able to keep the secret. But she thought perhaps if Colin met Dickon and saw things growing, he wouldn't think about dying so much. She knew that the gardens and the fresh air had been good for her. She had grown stronger and fatter, and her cheeks were red. Perhaps the fresh air would be good for Colin too.